Now, the front page of the Irish Times this morning has the story that Rusal, the company that owns the County Limerick industrial plant Ahanish Alumina, continues to be controlled by sanctioned Russian oligarch Oleg Deripaska. It's according to a confidential report by Swedish tax authorities. The report was completed in late March. At the same time, Swedish police launched an investigation into Rusal's operations in the country and allegations of breaches of international sanctions targeting Russia for their invasion of Ukraine. Separately, the chief executive of the Kubal Aluminium smelter in the Swedish city of Sundsvall was arrested last month by Sweden's Special Forces Police. Swedish prosecutor Sara Nielsen said the police investigation concerns a violation of international sanctions. The investigations are likely to increase pressure on our government and the EU to take action on the export of large amounts of alumina to Russia, which according to a recent Irish Times investigation ends up in a supply chain that supplies Russia's military industry. Ahanish and Kubal are owned entirely by the Russian metal giants Rusal. The majority of Rusal is owned by the energy conglomerate EN Plus, founded by Deripaska, a Kremlin insider, in 2002. Deripaska is a billionaire. He's been described as Putin's favourite oligarch. He's under EU sanctions over his role in supporting the invasion of Ukraine through the manufacture of military hardware for Russia. And according to Russian media, he's part of a group of oligarchs donating billions to the Kremlin's treasury to shore up Russia's faltering economy. The first imposed sanctions on Deripaska in 2018, along with Russia, Rusal and EN Plus over alleged interference in the US presidential election. Now, the Irish government, for its part, heavily lobbied the US to withdraw the sanctions, fearing the loss of hundreds of jobs in the Ahanish plant. And that's where we are today. And there is concern, and there remains concern within Irish government circles about those jobs. Many of the people who are employed at the plant have or do and live and work here in Kerry and work in Ahanish Alumina. I have done for many years. So there's a serious economic impact at stake here as well. Now, alongside this, yesterday, Fine Gael Ireland MEPs issued a joint statement, the four Fine Gael MEPs, Sean Kelly, Maria Walsh, Regina Doherty and Nina Carberry, saying they were deeply concerned about reports suggesting that alumina exported from Rusal-owned Ahanish Alumina plant may ultimately be supporting Russia's brutal war of aggression against Ukraine. With me on the line to talk about this is one of those signatories, Ireland South MEP Sean Kelly. Sean, good morning to you and thanks for joining me this morning. There's clearly a lot at stake here. Just outline what you're seeing as a group of MEPs with regards to this and your concerns about this situation.
Yes, and I think concerns is the word. We are very concerned because it's a big issue in Europe, and particularly with Ireland taking over the presidency on the 1st of July. I had a big event to highlight that on Tuesday night in Parliament, where I was showcasing Ireland's cultural heritage and what we could do. I had the Liam McCarthy Cup and the Sam Maguire Cup over, thanks to the GA in Croke Park. And a lot of people were asking, what was the story in Ireland? They look at it in Ireland rather than Ahanish and Alumina. But we want to make it very clear, I think like the vast majority of Irish people, we want to have nothing to do with anything and that would be helping Russia wage its war against Ukraine. But having said that, I have worked with Ahanish Alumina for over 12 years, I'd say now. They did fantastic work in trying to comply with the EU regulations in relation to reduction of emissions, etc. They're a great workforce. I have a huge sympathy for them, and I think most of them mightn't even be aware what's happening. They just do their job and they wouldn't be aware of where it is. But secondly, it's very important to say this, that there's an investigation going on now, and until we have that investigation completed, we won't be aware of the facts. And I think that's very important. And I think it's very important for the government to undertake the widest possible investigation, come up with the facts. They may be exaggerated. They may not be true at all. But at the same time, the allegations are very, very concerning, because the last thing I think anybody would want to be in any way complicit or unequivocal in relation to the absolute unnecessary, unprovoked attack by Russia on Ukraine and continuing bombing apartments, bombing high-rise buildings, killing young people, hitting hospitals and schools, and taking kids from their parents, taking them over to Russia and bringing them up as Russian kids. So it's a horrible situation, and we just want to make it very clear that we wouldn't have anything to do with anything that would be in any way advertently or inadvertently complicit in that happening. But we must wait, jury, until the investigation is done, and we have to give the people involved an opportunity to put their case and see what the story is.
Yeah, okay, and that's part of it, obviously underlining all of that. And look, speaking in self-interest for this region, this area, and people whose jobs are on the line, there's around about 500 people employed, about 1,000 associated jobs with that in the region. If anything was to happen, or the plant was to be closed or sanctioned, which could lead to closure, that would be devastating for this area.
It would be devastating for the area without a doubt, and that has to be taken into consideration. But the only thing I would say is that aluminium is a very highly sought product. It's used extensively around the world. I would imagine there are good markets for it or that could be found, and if that was the case, that should be, every help should be given to Hindish Alumina in doing so. And also, conversely, because Russia invaded Ukraine, the European Union now and the member states all find they have to ramp up their defence strengths. So there's a huge investment in military equipment, and if aluminium is part of the products that go into making that, there'd probably be new markets for it in Europe as well into the future. And I think from that point of view, I think it become an asset, a strategic asset in Europe, especially as they try to ramp up and speed up the deployment of military equipment so that they can defend themselves against any country that might try to invade them in the future.
Yeah, Sean, from that point of view, then there is the wider context of the European Union's interest in this, because, I mean, the more it goes on, whether it's computer chips or AI or data center development or rare precious earth minerals or aluminium, the EU has to be watching its own corner in terms of what gets made within its own borders. Is that a factor here in its consideration? 45% of what is produced there, according to Minister Peter Burke, gets exported to the EU or within the EU.
Yeah. And that, of course, is a factor, and it's a great positive factor from the point of view of aluminium, because they are helping Europe in the broadest sense. And that's why I'm making the point that I think that that will be actually increased into the future. So I'd be surprised if the jobs would be threatened by that, because I would see it's a growth area rather than a diminishing area. And I think that's a very important point, because you're absolutely right. We have a huge concern about the lack of rare earths and minerals, critical minerals in Europe, and we're totally dependent on countries like Russia sometimes, and China in particular, for that. And that's something we were discussing only yesterday at my committee in the European Parliament.
Yeah, need to decouple ourselves from dependence on unreliable allies, including at the moment the United States. Sean, final point on this, the wider context. We're reading this morning about an open letter sent by Vladimir Zelensky to Vladimir Putin to try and meet and end the war. We're hearing other stories of perhaps maybe the tide turning to an extent in the front on the war, with Ukraine becoming more effective and Russia perhaps maybe running out of manpower in terms of the numbers that are dying. Is there any hope of any sort of resolution, or is that just wishful thinking with Vladimir Putin?
I think the only thing that will bring Putin to the table is if he is staring defeat. And I think now that is beginning to emerge somewhat. The situation has changed dramatically. Ukraine, to their credit, they started off totally dependent on America and others, particularly for lethal weapons. And now they're developing themselves. So now they're striking back and doing so very effectively. And it brings to mind something I said to them at the very beginning. The foreign minister, I think, from Ukraine came to us sometime, I'd say, late 2022, after the war started. And I said to him, Mr. Minister, I don't go around attacking anyone, but if someone attacks me, I attack them back. I said, Russia's attacking ye, and Moscow's the safest place in the world, and you do nothing about it. And he said to me, Mr. Kelly, he said, you're absolutely correct, but we are not allowed. So what did they do? They went away and they used technology, their innovative capacity, and now they're actually leading in the whole drone development, and the drones are able to reach military targets, oil targets, etc., strategic targets in Russia, thousands of miles from their own situation, Kyiv, etc. So that is putting pressure on Putin, because now the war has come to Russia, and they're no longer a safe place. And the economy, because of the sanctions, is suffering more and more. And that's the only thing they'll bring to the table, either that or he gets defeated. And I think, hopefully, he will be coming under pressure, because if he doesn't deliver, and even I was amazed yesterday to see Marco Rubio saying that he was losing in Ukraine and that they will never achieve the targets they set out. So all that will feed into it. And if it's for survival for Putin by doing some kind of a deal, I think he will rush to it rather than be thrown overboard, like happened to many people who opposed him, thrown out windows or get a poisoned tablet in their food or something.
Yeah. Okay, Sean, listen, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much for talking to us on that. We've more on the way on Kerry today.